Welcome to the Border Town Podcast, the Flood Series. On July 11th, 2023, a state of disaster was declared throughout Vermont as intense and widespread rainfall dropped up to 8 inches of water over a 38-hour period. This led to catastrophic flooding throughout the state and left the entire downtown of the capital city, Montpelier, underwater. The Border Town Flood Series will introduce you to some of the small businesses, community members, and government officials, anyone in the community that is collectively experiencing this disaster. Today on the podcast, we welcome Sindra Connison, owner of The Quirky Pet, an independent pet store located at 5 State Street in downtown Montpelier. Please enjoy this conversation with Sindra Connison.
Don't take long to realize you're standing on shaky ground. Riding on the back road, dreaming, hear a voice telling you you're losing something dear.
Okay.
Start.
Go back to before this event.
Okay.
So let's just start, if you will, with an introduction.
Hi, my name is Sindra Connison, and I'm in Montpelier, Vermont, and I own The Quirky Pet.
And I would like you to tell me about The Quirky Pet.
The Quirky Pet is a 700-square-foot store in downtown Montpelier, and I have won a national award twice for Best Independent Pet Store, and everything in my shop is made in the United States. And I tend to have smaller people in there as opposed to big folks like Purina and, you know, those kind of guys. And it took me 2 years to put together a spreadsheet before I found the place to do it. And I've been there 12 years this month. Actually, whoa, 12 years today. I have opened 12 years ago today.
Oh, yeah. So the day is appropriate that we're talking.
The day is totally appropriate.
When you said you typically have smaller people in there,
mm-hmm.
What I thought you meant was your patrons?
No, being a smaller person myself, you're right.
But I know for my daughter, that's like one of her favorite places to go.
Oh, of course.
Out.
I know. Well, I have my parakeets, and up until 2 years ago, I had 3 dogs in there. And now I have my one girl, Joshi, who's with me now in here. And they're Bergamasco sheepdogs. They're, people call them the mop dogs or the dread dogs. And they have, their hair grows like dreads.
Yeah. And so there's just one?
Just one. Joshi is 7. Yeah. I know.
And then tell me about the birds.
The birds, I started with 2 parakeets. And then I had Chris, who was the carpenter who built my store. I found an aviary picture of one online. And he built me a huge one. And then I added more birds. And eventually I had 13 because I had 3 clutches of babies in there. And I couldn't give any of them away, of course. So now, though, I'm down to 5. And since the flood, they're at home in my dining room.
Yeah. And before we talk about the flood, tell me about, like, a good day hanging at the Quirky Pet. What would that day be like?
It's a really funny kind of a job. I think up until now, I took it for granted. But I get visitors in from all over the country and all over the world. And Joshi, my dog, likes to go hang out on the sidewalk. So I'll go out there a couple times during the day, and I throw ball to her down State Street, and she runs back, and we do it, and people stop, and they pet her, and then my friends will come in, and we'll talk, and I just have, I just wanted it to have like an old general store air, which I really think that it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a little bit about when you got in, I want to know how you started, like the history of it, but before that, what did you, a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and summary of life leading to this.
Well,
to this.
Originally I'm from Ohio, lastly I was from Ohio before we moved here. I have degrees in fine arts, I have an undergrad and a master's, and then I became an art therapist and a substance abuse counselor, which is what I was doing here. And I love the work, but I hate the paperwork that comes along with it. And we took our son he went to Camp Downer every year in Sharon, Vermont. Mm. And eventually he became a counselor there. But one time we dropped him off and we just went down, where did we go? Oh, we went to Maine for 3 days. And on the way back, we stopped in Northampton, Massachusetts, and there was an outdoor bird store. And on the way back, I remember just saying to my husband, I think I'll open a bird store in Montpelier. And on the way home, it became a dog and a cat store. And then and evolved and evolved. When I sat down to figure out what kind of products I wanted there, I was shocked at how much stuff is made in China. And I totally refused to do that. So it really was an interesting journey finding good products made here, because there is a huge plethora of excellent made in USA products. And honestly, people say that made in USA is expensive, but they're not. They're the same price. Hmm.
So this notion that you got on the way back from Maine, was that the first time ever, or was it something you stewed around with for?
Oh, no. My father had a small grocery store, so I grew up in retail. And when I lived in Seattle, my then partner and I were both artists living in our spaces, but we had a popcorn stand. I just loved doing that. And I think in the back of my mind, I always knew that I would come back to retail. But it would have to be an interesting retail, and so it is.
Yeah. So this podcast takes hiatus now and again. I looked up my website. The last one was 2019.
Ooh, before COVID.
Yes. And COVID put a disruption in it. But I went back, and one of the last ones that I posted was recorded pre-COVID, but I went back and revisited the woman, and she described her experience in the pandemic, and the first thing that came to mind was, she said, we're lucky here because we have this beautiful downtown with small businesses and commerce and community. Uh-huh. So from that, with that in mind, just describe how the Quirky Pet is part of this downtown. How would you describe Montpelier 17 days ago?
Oh, God, has it been that long, right? It's a very vibrant downtown, and we were just, I felt for me, I was just kicking into the tourist season, because all the kids are out of school and people are coming through. What I love about downtown Montpelier is that there are no chain stores here. So everything is small and family owned. And I get customers coming back year after year after year when they come back and visit Montpelier. And they've also become online customers because COVID forced my hand and made me do an online store, which I'm really grateful now to, because this is how I'm making money until I can reopen. I think that it's just a really interesting downtown. There's a lot of little eclectic shops, and it's just a beautiful downtown.
This might be easier for one of your customers to answer, but why is it important to have a store like yours in Montpelier?
If I would have known 13 years ago that my store was going to be a tourist destination, I would have laughed, because people are really into their animals, and it still amazes me. When people are on vacation, they stop in and they buy things for their dogs and their cats. They'll stop in and buy things before the dogs and cats before they buy it for themselves. And I think that's important, because animals are really important in our lives, and that's why. And I do not sell any animals in there, but people can come in and see my parakeets, and they come in, they play with my dog.
Yeah. Awesome. So then tell me what happened. It's now, I believe, today's July 26th, or was it 16 days ago?
No. Yeah, the flood was the 11th. It was Monday the 11th when the flood crested. I couldn't get in there Tuesday. We came down. I got in there Monday night. I went in through the back door, and there was water already coming in through the closed door of the atrium into my store. And stupidly and futilely, I took rugs, right, and pushed it in front of my door like that was going to stop it. And on my way out the back door, I looked downstairs, and it's an old basement, so it's an old staircase, and there's about 9 or 10 steps, and it was already up to the 5th step. And I just thought, I'm done. So we went home, and on Tuesday, I couldn't get in till Tuesday evening, because by then the water had receded, which I really found fascinating, because they still can't figure out where does it go. And then the store was a total wreck, total chaos. And my counter that weighs over 150 pounds was pushed forward, tipped over, and then pushed back. And everything on my counter is probably 4 feet high, was just scattered all through the store. Everything that I had 3 feet above ground level was all over the store. It took my stand-up freezer and just tossed it around and became a chest freezer. It was chaos.
And then what was your first thought emotionally? Like, is this it? That's the history or what?
No, you know, I think I went in there with a naivety. I went in there on Wednesday morning, and as soon as I got there, A bunch of my friends showed up, and we just started cleaning it and mucking it out. And there really was never any doubt that I wouldn't open. So I put an announcement on my Instagram, my Facebook page, and I called it GoFundMe with Benefits, saying that this is what happened. I showed pictures. I'm still open online, but understand you may not get your products for 6 to 8 weeks. And I just got a deluge of people ordering. I think right now I have 80 orders, which is really awesome.
So I guess, you know, as far as how people can help, what is how can someone help both locally and anywhere?
Montpelier has a fund. So if people want to donate, I would say go onto the Montpelier Alive website or go onto City of Montpelier website, and they'll take donations. And what they'll do is we'll apply for them, and they'll spread them out amongst the needs of the merchants and the restaurants, everyone.
I was pretty amazed at the turnout of volunteer help. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I was stunned. I think I read there were between 1,200 and 1,500 people. There were people coming to my store that I had to turn them away, because at one point I had 10 people in my store. I had two 13-year-old girls, who your daughter knows, and they were lugging water and dumping it and going to the next building because my water wasn't working because a hot water heater took out the pipe, and just bringing back fresh water. And they probably did that for 4 hours. And then I had contractors come in and just take down the walls for me. I mean, the level of volunteer was astounding. I don't know if you would find that in any other place except a small town. There were people from, I had two women from Milton. There was someone from Island Pond. There were people from all over Vermont who were coming in.
I think it is important to note that this happened in many places, you know. And
totally.
Barry Montpelier, like that's how we call ourselves, Barry, the Barry Montpelier area, but Barry certainly got hit too.
Barry got hit, Ludlow, Weston, one of my favorite places in Weston, the Vermont Country Store, right? I don't know how bad they were hit, but I'm assuming it was pretty bad, because I know the Weston Theater got totally decimated.
And so when you think about people helping physically, and I know no one's a flood expert. I mean, perhaps we're becoming flood experts.
Yeah, I hope not. Yeah.
People helping certainly needed that big influx early on. Mm-hmm. Do you think as we move different phases, or that physical contribution, is that going to be important, or is that going to fade away a little bit?
I'm seeing it fading away now, which I understand. So all my sheetrock is down. On one wall where we took it down, it was all brick, and it had been partial brick before, so I just took all the sheetrock down. We're not putting that back up. My landlord's crew is putting the sheetrock back up, and he also told me he's going to take the sheetrock down where the Renai heater is and in the atrium, so he'll do that. So he's putting the new floor, he's putting the sheetrock up, and I'm thinking they'll probably prime it. And then I'll come back in with my carpenter, and we'll put back my wall of shelves that were back. And then we'll put my barn board back up. So I think that, I think I would guess it would depend on the store. You know, I'm not going to be having that much painting.
Yeah.
And then putting the stock back is up to me, you know, because no one else can do that but me.
Yeah. You know, this is starting to spark the conversation of where we are and increase events like this and redesigning in a different way. Do you have any thoughts about that, maybe particularly with your store or broader throughout the town?
During Tropical Store Irene, the basement flooded. It never came up. And again, I was so super naive. I was like, oh no, the water's not going to come up. I don't know how you do it. I don't know if you build higher flood walls, you know, because if you look at it, the heating lot floods all the time. So the basements along, and those stores along the river always flood. I don't know. I don't know if you build huge flood walls to keep it out, but then how do we enjoy the river if we do that? So I have no answer.
If you think about your basement, did you use it for something, and you're mad going to say, maybe not? I mean, is the basement...
Oh, the basement's a store?
Yeah.
No, I never used that basement. My own personal basement at home flooded, and we have a sump pump. And I personally bailed out 45 5-gallon buckets of water because I didn't want my sump pump to die. But we, you know, it's an old Montpelier house, and it does need work on that area, but that always floods.
Yeah, ours too.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
We're in like the old pond area.
Oh, yeah. Where are you?
Marvin and Bingham.
Oh, okay. I'm just on Loomis, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep,
yeah. So
yep.
All the water. Yep. There, you know, we got water around here.
Right,
sure.
Right, right.
And so you didn't mention, you know, certainly maybe local people.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome seeing them come out, but now we're starting to see those enormous piles of garbage get shipped away.
Right.
So the impact to the casual observer is like, oh, cool, things are cleaned up. But now looking at your place, looking at most every place in town, now you have an empty shell that hopefully you can clean up and start over.
Right.
What do you think is the timing on that? And you have, where are we at now? We're in July.
Well,
so you...
Oh, gosh, please. What's this, the 26th?
26th.
Jeezle. And when does leaf season start? And so we're missing out on, I've missed out on 2.5 weeks of tourist season because people travel in Vermont. Hopefully, I would love to optimistically say in a month. It's in my landlord's hands how quickly they can get the wallboard and the floor down. Every store is different. I mean, look at the restaurants. How do they replace all those appliances? I mean, those are costly. I'm not to demean what I lost, but I lost a freezer. So then I'm thinking, well, I don't really need a freezer anymore because I used to sell raw, so I had a freezer. So I'm just going to replace it with a refrigerator. And I like to keep my bulk biscuits in there and some things in the freezer. So that's taken care of. But some of these restaurants and the bakeries, they've lost their entire kitchens. So I couldn't even understand when they're going to open.
Yeah. And as we talked about the value of Montpelier, I think anyone would say it's the community and the small businesses in the town. So moving forward, what's your vision? What's your hope? How do we look at that on rebuilding that or restoring?
My vision is that it's going to come back and come back stronger. I get really irritated when I read on Front Porch Forum of, well, we shouldn't have a downtown. Well, why not? I mean, vibrant downtowns support the city. Believe it or not, and accept it or not, tourism supports our city. And we get summer tourism, leaf season's a big one. If we have a good ski season, we get those folks. And then, you know, we're kind of dead in March, April, little May, and then the cycle starts again. So if there's no downtown, why would we be here? Why would anyone live here? Hmm. And I get really irritated. You know, these folks don't work downtown. They don't know what the downtown is like.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, other conversations we can have on ecological designs, I think you can handle it upstream, you know, and landscape design. How can you keep water stored, sunk, slowed down up in landscape? But, well, is there any other thoughts before we say goodbye? We'll just keep it. There's so much we could talk about as far as you personally, but kind of thinking about the flood and what's next. Any other thoughts?
Well, you know, one of the reasons for the flood, too, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but remember, wasn't it raining all June?
It rained all summer. It's been a really wet summer.
Yeah, so it's rained. So the ground was soaked. The rivers were full. Would this have happened on a normal June when the rivers were down? Maybe. It may have been a slight flood, but the conditions were just ripe for that. I don't know how you plan for this. You know, I'm going to just continue on. What else am I going to do? I do think this is priming my online business, selfishly to say. But that's good. I just keep hoping people will come back to Vermont.
Yeah. So the tourism, you know, our tourism is going to be impacted for sure. It's going to be, you know.
It was really interesting. Like, I think it was Friday. I was outside with two of my friends were helping. And there was a lovely family from Belgium. And they were walking through. And the woman said, "What happened?" And we told her. And she was staying up in Stowe. And the three of us were shocked that wherever they're staying didn't say to them, "Don't go to Montpelier." A lot of the tourists were not getting the word of what really happened. And then we got the other tourists, we called them disaster tourists, who were just walking by snapping the pictures. And I thought that was rather offensive to me, but what am I going to do?
Yeah, a guy from Montreal was biking through and I was chatting with him. Uh-huh. And he goes, "I feel bad taking my pictures." And I said, "Well, you know, at least people will see what's happening."
Oh, totally. And it's interesting because I've never been in a disaster, and I'm an obsessive online news reader. You know, all these, it runs the gamut of what I read. And now we're out of the news. So like we're on to the next news cycle.
Yeah.
Which on one hand, that's probably good because it means we're moving forward.
Mm. Yeah. You mentioned online. So could you tell me your website?
I can do that for you. It's quirkypet.com. And you would just go on, you'll see five or six tabs, and one says Quirky Dog Chews, and one says Vermont Organic Catnip Dispensary. And again, everything is in the United States. Please, please, please.
So for you personally, mm-hmm. the greatest help will be shopping online.
Yes, shopping online.
Yeah.
Shopping
and
online.
I would say, just as a community member, if there's ever a time when a force of people would help, don't hesitate to ask.
No,
I think
of course
people
not.
Feel good about being able to help if
they do.
Not, if they're too, I mean, literally, we're three blocks away and life's as normal.
I know.
Right? You
I
too
know.
At home? Yeah.
Yeah, because, Luma Street didn't get hit. You know, just our basements, but we're used to that. But then you walk down the school street and it's closed off today because they're picking up all the debris.
Yeah, yeah. And as you mentioned, there are funds that mm-hmm. people can donate to.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate you taking the time.
You're quite welcome. Yeah. This was fun. Thank you.
All right.
That was Sindra Connison, owner of the Quirky Pet. Many thanks to her for taking time to chat with us today. If you want to learn more about the Quirky Pet, track her rebuilding process, or purchase some amazing pet products, you can do so online at quirkypet.com. To offer financial support for flood relief in Montpelier, visit montpelieralive.com. And to learn more about Bordertown, visit bordertownonline.com. Thanks for listening.